On May 19th, 2014, I was admitted to the hospital with muscle tears in my leg and with a fever. I expected to be hospitalized for 1 or 2 days, 3 at the most. Well, I was there for 2 days, plus 5 weeks. During that time, in addition to my leg problems, I experienced a bout with sepsis, a staph infection, dangerous blood pressure fluctuations, an irregular heartbeat, critical internal bleeding requiring transfusions, blood clots in my arm and lung, an acute arthritis attack, and a painful gout attack. Along the way, I lost 10% of my weight. Boy, did I ever need help. And did I ever get help? First and foremost, from the Lord, who healed me. Secondly, from my dear wife, who exhausted herself on my behalf. Thirdly, from a whole host of loving friends who prayed for me. I thank you so much. Many of you prayed for me. Thank you for your concern and your prayers. I will never forget what little Haley Clayman said to me when I was able to get back in church. She said, "We prayed for you." Well, she wasn't the only one. Thank you so much. And by the way, I'm thankful that God answers prayers. And then those get well cards, 155 of them. What an encouragement they were. I still have them. I also appreciate the various doctors and nurses who ministered to me in so many ways. For example, one day my monitors indicated a problem, and I heard the PA system loud and clear. "Rapid response team to room so-and-so. Rapid response team to room so-and-so." Hey, that was my room. And in a flash, I counted 12 medical personnel surrounding my bed. What a help they were, not only then, but the whole time I was in the hospital. While I was in the hospital, I think I met more doctors than if I had gone to a doctor's convention. And, of course, I especially appreciated my own doctor who supervised my care. When it was all over, I thanked him for taking care of me. His response was, "You were a challenge." My wife knows all about that. I've been a challenge to her for 60 years. I really do not want to talk today about my physical problems. What I want to talk about are some scriptures that helped me when I was in the hospital. Here's one of them. Would you open to the book of Philippians? We were just in it in reading from the second chapter. I would like to have us turn to the fourth chapter, Galatians chapter 4. Excuse me, I mean Philippians. Galatians, yeah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. You've got to be kidding. Sometimes we're anxious about everything. When this scripture was written, did God know about some of the trials we would face in the 21st century? If this scripture were to be written today, would it say, do not be anxious about some things? Or would it still say, do not be anxious about everything? I think you know that answer. Some of us might have anxieties in our heart right now, especially after all the people that were in your house for the holidays. If we do not have anxieties in our hearts right now, hang on, we will. We're not supposed to. But we do. We don't have to, but we do, don't we? God would say to us, do not be anxious about anything, anytime, anywhere. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Just present them to God. Pray about them. Pray about what? Pray about the things that worry us. Pray about the things that cause us anxiety. A verse like that assumes we do have problems. We do have burdens. If we didn't have burdens, that verse wouldn't be in the Bible. We wouldn't need to pray about them. But we do. And God knows we do. And so he put that verse in to help us. We are to pray, letting God know our requests. God wants us to tell him what worries us and what we therefore desire from him. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't he already know? Oh, he sure does. But he wants us to verbalize what is on our hearts, to admit we have needs, and to cast our cares upon him. Now, if that's what he tells us to do, let's do it. But don't forget the phrase, with thanksgiving. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a key word here. If we present our request to God, but leave out the thanksgiving, we've left out the most important part. Now, most of us are pretty good at presenting our requests to God. What we may not be so pretty good about is when we do so, to do so with thanksgiving. But how can we be thankful when our hearts are so burdened down with anxiety and worry? Doesn't matter. Pray with thanksgiving. But thanksgiving and anxiety just don't go together. But the peace of God will not be ours if we do not present our requests with thanksgiving. It's the key. Thanksgiving for what? What can we be thankful for when the anxieties and worries of life weigh heavily on our hearts? I have a burden. I present it to God. I'm supposed to do it with thanksgiving. But what can I be thankful for in a time like that? And the answer is we can be thankful for the promises of God. So, we admit our anxiety to God. We present our request to God. We thank Him for His promises that relate to our concern. I'm in the hospital. It's the middle of the night. I'm supposed to be sleeping, but I'm wide awake, pondering. What is happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Will I ever lead a normal life again? Will I die? What would happen to my wife if I die? The scripture that I thought about the most, that I pondered the most, and I leaned on the most, was Psalm 31:15, "My times are in your hand." Speaking, of course, to God. Comes out of an experience of King David, who was just burdened down with all kinds of problems, and then he inserts that little phrase, "My times are in your hand." What is happening to me? My times are in your hand. Why is this happening to me? My times are in your hand. Will I ever live a normal life again? My times are in your hand. Will I die? My times are in your hand. Whether it be the trials of life or the time to leave this life, my times are in your hand. But what will happen to my wife if I die? Well, I remembered that her times are in God's hand too. And so I prayed. I prayed for healing. I prayed for strength. And I prayed to live. But I coupled my prayers with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for my times are in your hand. And I had peace. Let's turn to another subject. How about the matter of money? Can you think of anything that people worry about more than money? Christians, non-Christians, either one. And yes, God does allow financial crisis to come into the life of his people. When that happens, we pray for help with our finances. Good. We should. But when we so pray, let's pray with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving for the promise of God that he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Pray with thanksgiving for that promise, and God will give peace. P.S. He will meet the need. He may not give us all we think we want, but he will give us what we need. Another major cause of anxiety is indecision. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Life is full of decisions. But sometimes we do not know what to do or where to turn. And the pressure of indecision produces anxiety in our hearts. So we pray to God that he will show us what to do. What to do about major decisions, what to do about minor decisions. But as we pray, let us pray with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for God's great promise. Here it is. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. What a wonderful promise. Oh, P.S. He will also direct our paths. He will not only give us peace because of our trust in his promise, but he will also meet our needs. He will direct our paths. I cannot tell you how many times that verse has given me peace. And then, when I needed to know it, God showed me what to do. Here are a few other scriptures that we will want to thank God for as we move through the maze of complexities and concerns and cares in this life. Do you ever hear this one? All things work together for good to them that love God. I'm sure you have. To them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together. And for my Sunday school class, may I add a word or two that the idea is in there, even though the words aren't. All things work together for good in the end to those who love God. Here's one of the most precious verses of the Bible. Hebrews 13:5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In times of stress and turmoil, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to turn, our hearts are full of anxiety. I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. You never have to be on your own. That's a great promise. Here's another one, Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Some of you can say, I found that to be true. He may not have taken the burden away because it was good for you to have that burden, though you didn't know it. He may not take the burden away, but he will sustain us. And after all, isn't that what we really need, is the sustaining hand of God? So whatever our need may be, when we couple our requests with thanksgiving, God gives us peace. Now, we've been alluding to that peace for a while. As you know, this is not just any old peace. This is the peace of God. This is divine peace. This is the peace that God Himself has. It surpasses all understanding. How can our hearts be at peace among life's threats and pressures and promises? Only because God gives us His peace. It's not peace just like His, it's His. Perfect peace from anxiety and worry to perfect peace. How does that happen? We present our requests. We thank God for the appropriate promise that deals with our need, and God gives us peace. Try it. You'll like it. But I must warn you, and I must warn my own heart as well. Please do not miss this. We cannot truly thank God for His promises unless we believe them. We can know God's promises. We can glibly quote God's promises. We can pretend that we are leaning on God's promises. But if we do not sincerely believe God's promises, we cannot really be thankful for them. How can you be thankful for something you don't believe in? And if we're not truly thankful for God's promises, we will not experience the peace of God in times of trials. This ever happened to us? We face a crisis that troubles us. So we naturally ask God to help us. We may even thank Him for His promise that relates to our crisis, but we continue to worry. We just don't experience that peace of God. I thought I touched all the bases. I presented it to Him. I said, thank you for the promise that relates to it. And I didn't get the peace. The answer to that is our thanksgiving is hollow. Even though we did cast our burden upon Him, even though we did thank Him for the appropriate promise, we didn't really believe that God would keep that promise to us. Yes, we know He's kept that promise to other people. We know about that. But down in our hearts, we did not really believe that God would keep that promise to us. And so we offered Him our hollow thanksgiving and then continued to worry. I repeat, if we do not sincerely believe God's promise, we will not have peace. We can't be really thankful for it if we don't believe it. You know, God does not ask very much of us in exchange for giving us his priceless peace. All he asks is that we believe him. That's all. I present this to you. Here's the promise that goes with it. I believe that. If we can't even believe it, how in the world can we expect to have God's perfect peace? As I said, the thanksgiving is the key to the whole thing. But it's got to be sincere thanksgiving. I really believe this. Why is that so hard for us? I wish it weren't. Now, please notice the last four words of our text. What are they? Well, has to do with being in and through Christ Jesus. Some translations say in, some say through. Everything we've said, present supplication and prayers with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Don't pass over those words lightly. They are very important. Here's the idea. The peace of God that guards our hearts and minds is only available to those who are in Christ Jesus. He only gives his peace to those that he has saved. Secondly, the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds only comes from Christ Jesus. That makes sense? The peace of God comes only from God? So the peace that guards our hearts and minds, the peace of God, is from Christ alone and to Christ's own alone. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to desperately. First of all, to save you from condemnation, but also that you might have this peace of God in time of anxiety. May I say that I feel sorry for the unsaved people of this world? I feel sorry for them because they're unsaved. You know, there was a time when I was just another lost sinner, self-centered sinner on my way to hell. But by the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, he saved me for all eternity. He'll do that for any who trust in Christ as Savior. But I also feel sorry for unsaved people because of the burdens and anxieties and worries of this life that they carry with them. Where can they go for help? Their only resource is to turn to the psychiatrists and counselors of this world. But you cannot get the peace of God from the psychiatrists and counselors of this world. It only comes from Christ himself personally. And it is only available to those who have received Christ as Savior. I feel sorry for unsaved people. Here's a question for you. Should believers in Jesus Christ seek help for their anxieties from human psychiatrists? Some would say yes. Some would say no. I'm really not an authority on that subject. But this I do know. Nobody will ever receive the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds. Nobody will ever receive that peace from anyone else than Jesus Christ himself. So why go to anyone else? What precious verses these are. What a help they were to me in the hospital. A place of considerable concern and anxiety is the hospital. What a help they can be to every believer in every crisis. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's bow, shall we? Thank you, Father, for our salvation, for Jesus Christ who died for us and saves all who come to him. Thank you for our Savior. As we see this additional benefit for the saved, the availability of your peace in times of crisis, thank you for including that as part of the package of salvation. Thank you that it is available to any of us. Thank you for your grace in our lives and your help in our hurts. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week, we step into what? A new year, 2015. I wonder what awaits us. Hopefully, there will be times of rejoicing. Possibly, there will be times of pain. Whatever awaits us, may we be able to say, I'm okay. Here's another way to put that. It is well with my soul. And the reason we can say that is this. My time is in your hand. That's why